You are listening to a recording of the Open Society Foundations, working to build vibrant and tolerant democracies worldwide. Visit us at opensocietyfoundations.org.
I'm Sandy Colliver with the Open Society Justice Initiative. Delighted to be able to welcome our guests from the Xochitlán Center for Human Rights. We have with us Abel Herrera, and we have Malu Aguilar Rodriguez. And we also are very pleased that they're accompanied by Lydia Allen with the RF Kennedy Center for Human Rights, which awarded Abel a Human Rights Award in 2010. We're especially pleased because the Human Rights Initiative has begun supporting the Xochitlán Center this year. And I wonder, Emily, are you there in Washington? I know that the Human Rights Initiative has asked me in particular to say what a pleasure it has been to work with you. So I sent around information about Abel. I want to be very brief because they do need to leave at 12:30. But I did want to flag that Abel has just an amazing background. He trained to be a Catholic priest. He studied philosophy, humanities, in addition to theology. And then he studied anthropology at the National Faculty of Anthropology and History, where he also became a professor. He returned to his native region of Tlapa to set up the center to provide legal aid and human rights counseling. They've been at the thick of the breakdown in human rights in the state of Guerrero. They've representing the families of the 43 abducted students. So without anything further, I'd like to hear from both of you. I think we're hoping that we can start questions before noon, and I think people here are well informed about the overall situation. We're much looking forward to updates and also to hearing about, in particular, what you're doing and about the threats against you and how you see the situation.
Pues buenos días a todas y a todos. Para nosotros como Tlaxinolan estar aquí en esta oficina, pues es muy simbólico porque sabemos que es un cobijo a la lucha que hacemos en México por los derechos humanos y porque sabemos que también ustedes tienen un compromiso con la situación que se vive en nuestro país. Y bueno, también pues sentirnos como parte de este movimiento donde ustedes son un gran referente en el mundo y bueno, sobre todo en temas que para nosotros son claves como lo que se está haciendo en México en esta iniciativa de justicia.
So good morning. Thank you very much for having us here. For us, it's very symbolic to be here because we feel like we are covered by that our struggle is covered by all this movement that you represent, all the commitment that you have in our country, and we are very proud to feel as we are part of this movement that you are starting in your office in Mexico with the Justice Initiative.
Nosotros como Centro de Derechos Humanos de la Montaña hemos cumplido en junio, de este año 20 años de trabajo. Estamos con comunidades indígenas, somos 22 compañeros y compañeras, trabajamos alrededor de 19 municipios y bueno, nuestro trabajo cotidiano es recibir diariamente a la gente que no habla español, que sufre la discriminación, que no es atendida por las autoridades, que es perseguida por los militares. Y ahí es donde radica nuestra esencia del trabajo, ¿no? Ser un representante, un acompañante, un defensor frente a la gente indefensa, y eso es lo que nos identifica como Tlachinolan durante estos 20 años?
So, as a human rights center, we became 20 years old in Yunnan. We accompany mainly indigenous people in the Montaña region. We are around 22 colleagues who work in 19 municipalities in Guerrero. Our office, it's an open door office, which every day people from everywhere in these municipalities come, people who suffer discrimination, who are victims of the militarism, and which is kind of the essence of our work. The essence of our work is to accompany all these people who have who suffer all these violations, and we are the defenders of this situation.
Cuando la gente llega a la oficina, lo que hacemos es documentar, tratar de ubicar qué tipo de problema es, y cuando son casos graves de violaciones a derechos humanos, las diferentes áreas que hay ahí en Tlachinolan, el área educativa, el área jurídica, el área internacional, el área de comunicación, cuatro áreas, trabajan en un modelo de defensa integral, que así le llamamos, para poder, pues sobre todo, documentar bien el caso y poder construirlo y tratar de proyectarlo a las instancias competentes. Eso nos ha permitido que haya un trabajo profesional muy riguroso, muy respetuoso, y que hayamos logrado varios casos que se ventilen a nivel internacional, al grado que dos de ellos estuvieron en la Corte Interamericana de Derechos Humanos.
So when people come to our office, we try to document all the situation, which are the main violations, to identify the issues. And when we identify an emblematic case, and when the victims feel like they want to commit to their struggle, then we start to what we call the comprehensive defense, which is when we gather different of our areas, the education area, the legal area, the international and the communications area. And we continue a professional work, which now it's being respected in all Mexico. So we have been able to accompany emblematic cases at the international arena. Two of them we came to the Inter-American Court of Human Rights.
La situación en nuestro país es compleja. Se ha ido profundizando la crisis de gobernabilidad que pues impera en no solo en la Ciudad de México, sino en las diferentes regiones de nuestro país. Y lo más grave es que el sistema de justicia está colapsado, está agrietado por la corrupción, por la impunidad. México ha sido famoso por la forma en cómo se engaña a la población, por cómo se extorsiona, y esto ha llegado a niveles muy altos. Y entonces, como ciudadanía, pues nos sentimos realmente poco representados por las autoridades. Es una crisis de representatividad muy fuerte. Pero no solamente eso, sino también la gente no encuentra respuestas a sus grandes problemas. Se siente huérfana. Máxime los sectores más empobrecidos. Es decir, en la montaña, la gente, cuando va al Ministerio Público, es decir, a las instancias de justicia, no les hacen caso. Para que les hagan caso, les tienen que cobrar. Los discriminan porque hablan otra lengua. Y pues la actitud de la autoridad es muy arrogante, muy despreciativa. Eso es parte de una cultura del desprecio hacia la sociedad, que ahora ha hecho crisis con casos muy graves de violaciones a derechos humanos.
So Mexico is living in a complex situation. We believe that there is a governability crisis in Mexico where the justice system has been collapsed. Mexico's justice system is famous because of how it treats the population, how it's based on extortions and basically paybacks within the justice system. We have a crisis of representability as well. The people doesn't find any response from the system or any response for any of their issues in this kind of institutions. So the prosecutors basically discriminate everyone who comes into the office and doesn't speak Spanish, for example, in the Montaña, or who doesn't have money to pay for their work. So the authority doesn't give a proper answer to the crisis. So what Bell calls a culture of desprecio? How
Disregard.
Yeah.
Esta crisis que hay en nuestro país, el gobierno la ha querido resolver usando más los cuerpos de seguridad. Felipe Calderón, el sexenio pasado, sacó al ejército a las calles para, supuestamente porque es la institución más segura, para poner orden. Pero ahí es donde se elevó la tasa de homicidios, más de 100 homicidios. Las desapariciones fue realmente lo más grave que se enfrentó en el sexenio. Es decir, la estrategia de seguridad basada en el uso de la fuerza, en la militarización de la vida pública, ha sido un modelo que ha lastimado en lo más profundo la vida de los mexicanos, porque ha cobrado muchas vidas. Y esto ha hecho que entonces la sociedad ahora pues esté no solamente con su dolor, sino con su coraje, con su indignación. Y han pasado cosas tan graves como los asesinatos, de los feminicidios que se dieron en Chihuahua, obviamente las ejecuciones que se dieron contra migrantes y pues las muertes que han sucedido a lo largo y ancho del país que han quedado en la impunidad. También hace 3 años se dieron el asesinato de 2 estudiantes de la Normal de Ayotzinapa cuando estaban protestando en una autopista a la que va Acapulco por exigir una audiencia con el gobernador, porque ellos temían que si no se reunían con el gobernador, pues la matrícula que estaban pidiendo de 147, el 157 jóvenes que pudieran entrar a la Normal se viniera abajo. Mandaron policías. Los policías en México no están para proteger a la sociedad, están para masacrar, y mataron a 2 estudiantes. Nuestro acompañamiento desde esa fecha ha sido muy intenso como derechos humanos, porque pues son violaciones muy graves. Y esto acrecentó las amenazas a nuestro trabajo. El compañero Vidulfo, que es el abogado coordinador del área jurídica, tuvo que salir del país más de 2 meses, 3 meses, para poder pues enfrentar las amenazas por el hecho de haber acompañado y denunciado que en este caso pues había policías involucrados en los asesinatos.
So the government answer to this crisis has been the use of the security forces in the street. So Calderón took out the military to the streets. And then, as you know, all the human rights violations raised. We had 100,000 homicides in one administration, and the number of disappearances rise as well. So these security policies are based on militarization and has touched like every single life of all the population in Mexico. So now this population feels anger, feels deception and pain. We remember all the numbers of the feminicides, all the violations against the migrants, and all the impunity that has been continued to all these human rights violations. So in this sense, our accompaniment to the students of the Ayotzinapa teaching school started in 2011 when two students were killed when they were doing a blockade in one of the main highways that connected Mexico City with Acapulco, while they were asking for a hearing with the governor. They were asking was mainly just to sit down with the governor and to negotiate so they could open once again the school for the next year, you know, like the call of applications for 147 students that will continue to go to this school. The response was the use of excessive force, of lethal force. The police came and basically opened fire against the students. So we started this accompaniment, like this very close accompaniment with the students in that time. This has meant for us threats and other kind of aggressions, up to the point that one of our colleagues, Vidulfo Rosales, which is the coordinator of the legal unit in Tlachinolan, had to leave the country for 3 months in 2012, I think. Yeah, 2012.
Bueno, el caso Ayotzinapa es un caso que ya veníamos trabajando y que había una relación muy estrecha con el comité estudiantil, con algunos padres de familia, y precisamente se está trabajando en una demanda para poder llevar este caso de los jóvenes asesinados ante la Comisión Interamericana de Derechos Humanos. En eso estábamos cuando pues suceden los hechos trágicos del 26 de septiembre, donde asesinan a 3 estudiantes y 43 jóvenes están desaparecidos y otros 3 civiles también que mataron. Pues ahí lo que ya preveíamos y lo que ya sentíamos de lo que iba a suceder, no de esa en esa magnitud, es precisamente el hecho de que estén involucrados corporaciones policíacas de Iguala y de Cocula, que estén involucrados el presidente municipal, el secretario de Seguridad Pública, que no hayan hecho nada al escuchar los balazos, los militares que se encuentran a unos metros de este lugar donde sucedieron las agresiones, cuando existe fuerzas de élite del ejército para combatir al crimen organizado y después de 2 horas y media de la balacera no hayan hecho nada. Que la Policía Federal se haya mantenido al margen de esta agresión. Es decir, todo el aparato de seguridad en Iguala, que es un lugar muy convulsionado por la disputa de los cárteles de la droga, haya habido una inacción de parte de estas fuerzas de seguridad. ¿Qué quiere decir? Que todo el aparato del Estado está coludido con el crimen organizado. Eso es lo más duro. Antes no lo podíamos decir porque esto significa un alto riesgo, es decir, significa colocarte frente al paredón para que te puedan asesinar, porque eso es así lo que pasa en México. Y entonces hay cosas prohibidas que no se pueden decir tan fácilmente porque ya no sabes si hablas con la autoridad o hablas con el representante de un cártel de la droga. Y ya no sabes si te enfrentas, antes denunciábamos a la policía, al militar, y sabíamos que era el militar, sabíamos que era el policía. Hoy no sabes que atrás de ese policía, o es sicario ese policía, o está representando los intereses de un cártel de la droga dentro de la estructura de gobierno. Y eso es lo que ha pasado en Iguala. Se descubrió esa podredumbre que hay en este sistema político de nuestro país, que los políticos lo han querido parchar y aparecer como muy pulcros, pero no. Ese dolor, ese sufrimiento, esa violencia es algo que ahora salió como un grito como una protesta, como un coraje contenido, y donde la gente está perdiendo el miedo porque pues ya no quiere más muertes, ¿no? Y eso es lo que está pasando hoy en nuestro país.
So yeah, up to that point we started to accompany the students in 2011, and we came very close with them and with the student committee and some of the families. So when up to the point that we are close to send this case, a petition of this case to the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights, and so for the events of 2011. So when the events of 26th of September in this year happened, where six people died, were killed, basically, and three of them students, and 43 more students were forcibly disappeared, we started to accompany the families and the students from the first day. This was something that was already predicted, or we could see coming. So we could see coming that the mayor, that the security ministry of the municipality were colluded with the organized crime. It's something that everybody knew. It was also foreseen that the organized crime and the authorities are colluded in this region in Mexico. But what Iguala showed us was that all these things have been completely exploded. I mean, it's out of control. So we have a situation where 43 students are disappear, and then the militaries in the region didn't do anything for 2 hours. They have two main battalions in Iguala with an elite force, which was very close to the where these things happen. The federal police didn't do anything. And what it means for us is that all the state institutions were at least, I mean, they are related to the events at least for omission. All the inaction from the state, it's what was proven. All this, and what this proves is that all the state institutions are colluded with the organized crime. Before, we couldn't say anything. I mean, even if people in Guerrero knew about it, because this means a death threat. I mean, a death sentence, sorry. But because before, it was very easy for us to, common for us to denounce a military, because you knew that the military committed the human rights violation, and then you were denouncing before the authorities that this was happening. Or you were denouncing a municipality police that were extortion, and you knew that this was what you were facing. But now you don't know if this is the organized crime, or if you are like denouncing somebody that is working for the organized crime. Iguala, it's an example of all this pain and suffering and violence that the people have to live with every day. And this was uncovered for all the country and all the international arena. So people has now been going out to the streets and start to denouncing this. And they have basically lost the fear of all these deaths, but because of the escalation of all the situation.
So,
por último.
Okay, yes.
Hay un equipo de Tlachinolan que acompaña a los padres y madres de familia en la normal. Hemos constatado serias inconsistencias en la investigación del caso Ayotzinapa. El gobierno quiere, sobre todo, fortalecer su hipótesis de que los estudiantes fueron asesinados en el basurero de Cocula. Hay mucha presión política, ellos lo leen más desde la presión política y no tanto desde el dolor de las víctimas. Hay inconsistencias en la búsqueda de los jóvenes vivos. El gobierno da por hecho que en la práctica que están muertos sin probarlo. Los papás viven en la incertidumbre porque no hay certezas científicas. Ya se tuvo un dato del joven Alexander, pero eso es insuficiente como para concluir que entonces todos están muertos. Hay un grupo de peritos argentinos que tienen también sus propias, ¿cómo se dice?, versiones de cómo se está haciendo la investigación, que no son apegadas sobre todo a los estándares internacionales en cuanto a investigación sobre desaparecidos. Y bueno, hay un ambiente muy, ¿cómo se dice?, de polarización, y sobre todo una campaña de desprestigio desde el mismo secretario de la Marina en contra de quienes estamos defendiendo a los padres. Entonces, lamentablemente ahorita el país está convulsionado porque hay una exigencia de justicia y el gobierno no está ahorita a la altura de esta gran demanda que hay de los ciudadanos y ciudadanas.
So, there is a team of Tlachinola and of colleagues from Tlachinola that are based basically in the school, who are like accompanying the families and the students every day. We have seen the inconsistencies in the investigations. We know that the Attorney General's office wants to close the investigation. They are moved basically because of the political pressure and not because of the claim of justice, which means that we can see and put down some misguidance in the investigation and also in the searches, which are the main objective of the families, which it's the main denounce of them, that they have to continue to look for them alive. There is no scientific basis for to know that the thesis of the Attorney General's office is conclusive. There was one identification of one of the students, but it's not conclusive for all the version of the Attorney General's office. There is a team of anthropologists, forensic anthropologists from Argentina working closely with the case, and they have pointed out that the investigation doesn't comply with the standards, international standards for forced disappearances. And most important, or one of the main things that we have seen now is that there is also a campaign of polarization and not threats, but like just saying it. I didn't want to say that word because I couldn't say it. Yeah, but that from many authorities, especially we've seen it from the Ministry of the Army, of the Navy, which just say that the parents were manipulated by some groups that were accompanying them. We are now in a very convulsionate country, which the state doesn't understand what's the claim of justice that the parents and all the population is doing, and we don't think that they are up to the standard to comply with that.
Thank you. A very dangerous situation, I think, and very challenging. We'll take some questions now, and we'll start with Ari Nayer, who is the former president of the Open Society Foundations and now a senior advisor.
You have indicated that you are looking to the Inter-American Commission for Human Rights and the Inter-American Court of Human Rights for some assistance, and you've indicated that the various governmental institutions are not being of any help. I wonder if you see any institution, any national institution in Mexico that you regard as a significant supporter of your efforts to protect human rights. That is, the National Commission on Human Rights, at least when it started, was a valuable instrument for protecting human rights. Do you see the church as playing a role in protecting human rights? Do you see the media playing a role in protecting human rights? That is, are there national institutions that you think of as being supportive of what you're trying to do?
Pregunta. Esa pregunta que si desde alguna institución dentro de México que pueda ayudar a la protección de derechos humanos, o sea, no solamente instituciones gubernamentales, sino por ejemplo la CNDH o la Iglesia o, la me- o los medios que puedan como apoyar en la protección.
Bueno, pues nosotros nos hemos apoyado fundamentalmente en las mismas organizaciones civiles de derechos humanos. Nos hemos acuerpado como un movimiento de defensores y defensoras en México, apelando a mecanismos internacionales y nacionales de derechos humanos. Es decir, nos tenemos que agarrar de afuera con los acuerdos que tiene México y acuerparnos en este movimiento. Lamentablemente ahorita la Comisión Nacional de Derechos Humanos no ha estado como cercana a los defensores y defensoras. Es un aparato muy, ¿cómo se dice?, cuando pesa mucho, cuando no reacciona, está muy lento, ¿no? Muy, muy lento, muy lejos. No lo sentimos cerca. Y bueno, en la Iglesia hay sectores sensibles que de algún modo acompañan. Por ejemplo, en Acapulco hay un movimiento de apoyo a las víctimas de la violencia. En la diócesis donde nosotros estamos, en Tlapa, pues hay un acuerdo de que el trabajo de Tlaxinolan lo va a respaldar el obispo y los sacerdotes. Son como esos, ¿cómo se puede decir?, esas fuerzas que adquirimos, pero sobre todo aquí la protección la tenemos de la gente que sufre, la gente que está en la montaña, que esa nos apoya, nos da como la medicina de la esperanza, que sabemos que está sufriendo, que ellos están más vulnerables que nosotros, son esos defensores comunitarios que en medio de tanta adversidad tiene mucha fuerza, y como que eso nos acuerpamos con ellos, como que eso hacemos un corazón grande con ellos para luchar, y creo que eso es lo que nos ha permitido subir la montaña con tantos riesgos.
So yeah, what we have been trying to do in Mexico is to gather all NGOs and all human rights movement, organized movement, a movement of defenders, and to call up to international standards and to international organizations, because we don't see that there is many institutions in Mexico, within Mexico, that would have to cover and to protect us. Regrettably, the National Commission for Human Rights has not been close to the organizations in Mexico. They are very far away from all the situations.
They started out well many years ago.
Yeah, they did. And now the president has just changed, so mm-hmm. it has a chance to do something new. For most of organizations, we have always denounced that it's an institution that it's been basically mm-hmm. very close to the state. In the case of the church, there are some sections that are very sensitive to this situation. For example, in Acapulco, which is one of the most violent municipalities in Mexico, there is a group of priests that accompany victims of violence in general. And in Tlapa, our work is covered by the church. And for us, I think what it's the best measure of protection is the people itself, who are very strong and who give us hope, and who are usually more vulnerable than us, and who continue to struggle for justice, and this is what gives us strength.
Arye, do you have a follow-up?
No, you didn't say anything about the media. What has been the role of the media on these matters?
Hay un sector muy importante, sobre todo de los medios impresos en México, que tiene un perfil muy, definido en favor de la lucha por los derechos humanos. Eso ha ayudado bastante, sobre todo cuando se hacen estudios o reportajes a profundidad. El caso de Ayotzinapa ha sido un caso que realmente ha ayudado a generar una mayor conciencia de las implicaciones que tiene, pues, estos hechos tan graves. Hay, bueno, medios muy, muy profesionales y muy comprometidos. Creo que, pero en el ámbito de los medios impresos, en el ámbito de los medios electrónicos, está la otra versión oficial de los hechos, y hay hasta medios que se encargan de denigrar el trabajo de los defensores, de atacar, y se prestan mucho. Pero bueno, nosotros sí tenemos como aliados, y a nivel también de, pues, de corresponsales a nivel nacional e internacional, pues sí, sí es un gran apoyo.
So within the media there is a sector basically from the press, like the printed press, which are very committed to human rights in general. We have seen many good pieces and very deep into pieces that in this situation in Ayotzinapa, which have helped to get more conscious outside in the society, and to point out which are the main issues in this case, which are very professional. But then you go to like some other kind of media, like electronic media, like TV and radio, which you have the official version, which are media that have helped the state to attack the defenders, to promote this idea of the defenders being some kind of threat to the governability. But we have very good allies in the media, in the press media, in the printed media, and also the international media now has done a lot of good work in the case of the Vietnam.
Thank you. I'll turn now to questions here in New York, and then I'll go to DC, and then on the phones. And if you can ask your questions in Spanish, those of you who can, and then just summarize in English for us. I'll start with Mark, if you'll come to the table.
Sure. I'll shout.
Okay.
Es un placer conocerle. Me llamo Mark Krupansky de Open Society Justice Initiative. Y gracias por venir aquí. Tengo muchas preguntas, pero solo una para ahora. Yo sé que el presidente Peña Nieto ha presentado unas recomendaciones para reformar la policía, en particular para sustituir a la policía local con la policía estatal. Y con el grado de corrupción que existe en todos los niveles, ¿crees que es una solución de verdad o no? Gracias. So my question was about President Peña Nieto's recommendations, in particular to substitute local police for state-level police, and with the level of corruption that exists in at all levels, if he thinks that this is a solution for reform.
Bueno, es lo que se conoce como el mando único. Hay un intento que no es nuevo, sino ya viene desde el sexenio pasado, de crear una sola policía. Bueno, en el modelo que ellos conciben es que creen que desde arriba, con policías de élite, pueden como cambiar la situación de corrupción que hay abajo. Bueno, creo que esa visión no es la más acertada. Primero porque el hecho de los policías de élite y de mando único no son policías cercanos a la población. La gente lo que quiere es la confianza con alguien que está encargado de su seguridad y de su protección, pero que esté ahí. No es el policía pensado más así como bien armado y con toda la tecnología que pueda usar como para enfrentarse, pues como en las políticas de Rambo, ¿no? O sea, yo digo política, las películas de Rambo que nos venden allá en México, ¿no? Yo creo que lo que se necesita es una reforma policial, una democratización de estas policías, una depuración de fondo, y no se puede suplantar a las policías locales. Tienen que existir, porque son las policías cercanas las que conviven con la gente. Claro, se tiene que arrancar la corrupción. Ese tipo de policías mexicanos ya no queremos, ¿no? Queremos policías ciudadanos, un modelo de seguridad ciudadana construida con la misma comunidad. Y creo que eso es algo que ya en las comunidades existe, ¿no? Las policías que se llaman comunitarias, que están al servicio de la comunidad, están controladas por un sistema de, sobre todo, de monitoreo de las mismas autoridades. O sea, porque si dependen de los mandos únicos de arriba, van a estar muy ajenas a la situación real que enfrenta la gente, sobre todo la que se siente más desprotegida.
So yeah, this is not a new idea. This comes from basically from the last administration, which tried to create a unique force from that thinks that things can be done from up to down, where and that this will change actually the situation. For us, this is not the most assertive idea. This kind of images that are portrayed of a unique force that will be from elite, and this will come with this big new technology and this Rambo idea of what it's the police, does not really build trust, which is the most important part. And it's not a police; it will not be a police that will be very close to the society. So I think what should be done is a complete reform of the police forces, a democratization of the police forces. This will not mean to change the local forces for a unique and federal force that does not be that will not be understanding of the situation within the local situations. This doesn't mean that you should not change the current situation. I mean, this is important. Most of the municipality polices are corrupted. But what it has to be done is a security policy that is more like coming from the citizenship, that it will be built from the community. And Abel mentioned the situation in indigenous communities where police forces are named within the community and have some mechanisms of accountability and response. So. This model exists.
Very interesting. Thank you. So we have, Lydia, could we have an extra 5 minutes?
Yeah, definitely.
I'd like to take a question from D.C. and then I'll come back to Sanjay.
Are there any questions in D.C.?
Well, while you're thinking about it, let me take Sanjay and I'll...
My question was actually the same as Mark's, but the follow-up question I do have is, which locality... is there this close relationship between indigenous populations and police? Where has this worked in Mexico?
And that's Sanjay Patel of the public health program.
Las policías comunitarias nacieron hace 19 años así como un modelo alternativo de seguridad en lo que llamamos Costa Montaña, que es en la región donde estamos trabajando con algunas comunidades. Estamos hablando de 5 municipios principalmente, donde están ellos, en una región donde hay población Mepa y Tunsabi. Esto ha funcionado porque el tejido comunitario está fuerte, funcionan las asambleas, los acuerdos entre los pueblos, la asamblea nombra quién va a ser su policía. Ese policía tiene que rendir cuentas a la autoridad y al mismo tiempo hacen una red de grupos de la policía que se coordinan en varias regiones hacen recorridos y sobre todo tratan de ver cuál, hacer su diagnóstico de dónde están los riesgos. Eso por un lado. Y también las autoridades que son nombradas por las comunidades son las que se erigen como los que investigan delitos y que junto con la comunidad sancionan a los que detienen. Y por último hay un proceso de reeducación, es decir, a los detenidos después de la investigación se les manda a las comunidades para que allá en el día trabajen en favor de la comunidad, en la tarde los principales den consejos a los detenidos y en la noche ya los resguardan en la cárcel. Es lo que llaman el proceso de reeducación. Y es algo que pues ha funcionado, que es algo que se ha transformado como un modelo alternativo de justicia.
So the community police comes from 19 years ago in the Costa Montaña region where we're mainly working as an alternative model of security. It's mainly based in 5 municipalities in Guerrero. And it has been working because the community tissue it's very strong. I mean the assembly of all the community names the police and these police have to be accountable for all their actions. In addition, these like the town's police and they all are coordinated in a big network, which do a diagnosis of the situation within the whole region, so they know where the threats and the risks come from. In addition, the authorities that like kind of the elders, they investigate the crimes that the persons that are detained committed. Then, if they come to their jurisdiction, basically they are they sanction them, and then the person who's detained comes into a whole process of what they call re-education, which is basically that they do community service in some of the communities, and then that's during the morning, and then during the afternoon they get talks or chats with the elders of the community, so they can change their perspective, and then they are detained. And this whole system is actually recognized by the Constitution in Guerrero, so it's an indigenous kind of form of alternative security model.
Thank you. So please introduce yourself, and I'm also going to, after you ask your question, I'll ask Ina, and those will be our final questions.
Hola, me llamo Kitty, soy con el programa de salud pública también y tengo una pregunta muy breve. ¿Qué podemos hacer nosotros aquí? ¿Qué podemos hacer a ayudar? Todo el mundo está mirando a México ahora y nosotros sentimos dolor, pero no sabemos qué hacer. Y usted ha hablado un poco sobre lo que se puede hacer en México y sobre lo que se puede hacer como a nivel nacional, pero ¿qué se puede hacer a nivel internacional? Y gracias por presentar otra vez.
Do you want to summarize the question?
I can translate quickly. I just wanted to ask, like, what can we do here to support you? What can be done at a global level to support you in addition to what you already proposed at a national level in this?
And Ina, do you want to add a question or should we come back to you?
Yes, I would like to make 2 comments and put Abel a question, if possible. I don't know if this is the right moment.
Sandy, I wonder if I could jump in too now. Apologies.
Okay,
this
sure.
This is Allison from DC.
Okay. Why don't you jump in, and then we'll get responses, and then we'll get Ina as the final comment. So please.
Right. Soy Allison Kilman del Human Rights Initiative, basado acá en Washington, DC. Usted mencionó que están trabajando a través del sistema interamericano, ¿no? Y quisiera saber qué esperan del sistema interamericano frente a esta realidad de que las fuerzas policiales están ligadas a las pandillas. Y también qué esperan, digamos, que respondería el Estado frente a la Comisión Interamericana. Y si ustedes esperan que van a responder de manera adecuada, dado esta situación, ¿no? Basically, Alison Hillman from the Human Rights Initiative, I asked, they've been working through the Inter-American system, what do they hope as a response from the Inter-American system, and what do they hope the state will respond, given that the police forces are so tied with the gangs?
Bueno, Malú va a contestar lo de la Comisión Interamericana porque ese es su trabajo.
Okay.
Bueno, ¿qué se puede hacer? Yo creo que ahorita, pues, hay una gran efervescencia en cuanto al caso de Ayotzinapa y sobre todo a la demanda principal de los papás, que es buscar a sus hijos vivos. Yo creo que lo más importante es cómo poder hacerse eco de esta demanda, la necesidad de que primero el gobierno acepte, bueno, ya aceptó, pero que en verdad acate, podemos decir, las recomendaciones que puedan darse por el grupo de expertos internacionales que van a llegar a México por parte de la Comisión Interamericana para ver qué es lo que está haciendo el gobierno en el tema de la búsqueda y de la investigación. Creo que eso sería muy importante, que se respaldara esto y que sobre todo que sus recomendaciones puedan cumplirse. Y ante todo garantizar el trabajo de los defensores y defensoras de derechos humanos. Creo que es muy importante alzar la voz de que en México se necesita generar un ambiente propicio de protección, de reconocimiento a los defensores y no de criminalización y de estigmatización. Creo que eso ayudaría bastante y que pues haya realmente una depuración de las corporaciones policíacas, un ataque frontal al crimen organizado con apoyo de la sociedad, porque si lo hacen ellos solos, simplemente cambia el cártel del sexenio, ¿no? Porque ese es el gran problema.
So yes, I think what this current situation with the Ayotzinapa has bring a lot of actions and different activities. And so what we think it's important is to take these denounces and to bring them up and bring them to the public. So, for example, that the recommendation of the group of international experts that will come to Mexico from the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights, which will be appointed by the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights, that to demand the state that they will actually take this recommendation and implement them, and not just want to be one more recommendation to Mexico. To continue with the search of the students, because the parents have been very spoken out that the Attorney General's Office and the state has not continued to do the search, especially after they say that the students were killed in this part of Cocula, and also to spoke out for the defenders of in Mexico. We need guarantees to do our work and to not be criminalized, and we think it's very important so the international community to point out this to Mexico. And finally, to call for the state to do a real confrontation to organized crime, but not just with security measures, but with some kind of policy that actually include the citizenship and to make some real changes. With regard to the Inter-American system question, we have been, the first thing that we did after the disappearances, it was to request precautionary measures from the Inter-American Commission. So they were granted, basically with very short notice. It was after 10 days, I think. So in this context, we asked the state to call for technical assistance from the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights. There is only two cases before that that have been actually having one, I think, in Chile and one in Mexico for the Digno Ochoa's case. And what we were aiming was that they basically to have some kind of output from outside, from independent experts on the investigations, and to also to make sure that all this part of the case was covered by the precautionary measures, because what we thought it was that if when the international pressure and international attention comes down, then we need something that to actually continue to monitor the actions of the state. For us, it's very important. We think it's a challenge. I mean, what we have been hearing is that maybe the state will not comply with that, and as it will be something that will be covered basically in resources by the states, this will could undermine their capacity. But I mean, that's why we need that also. Everybody who uses the Inter-American system can support this idea, because it's something that could make a good precedent for this. And basically what we are including is so the independent experts could look at how the state is doing in the searches, and if they are really using all the resources that they have, and how it's done in compliance with international standards. Also, basically, if the investigation is actually looking at the relation between the organized crime and the authorities, and if they are really exhausting all the investigative lines, if they are using all the technology that it's possible for looking at the students, and also if they are giving all the facilities for the forensic work to be done, and specifically for the independent experts. And last, but which we think it was very important in the context of the Inter-American system, I mean, not just for the case and specifically, but the group could do some good recommendations in terms of the structural causes and the structural challenges in terms of disappearances in Mexico, which are, I mean, and these will help us to put in perspective the magnitude of the crisis in Mexico, which is like, it's big. I mean, officially recognized 22,000 disappears in the last 6-8 years. I mean, so then this, I think, it's the biggest challenge for the Inter-American system in this case. I mean, to actually make sure that this group of experts could actually come up with recommendations that go through the whole thing in Mexico, but also that Mexico will accept them and start to do some changes in this.
Thank you. Fascinating. Ina Zun is our colleague with the Justice Initiative in Mexico. Maybe some final comments.
Hi. I just wanted to make two comments about the investigation. The first one is that at the first moment, the authorities took a position that the disappearances of the students are exclusively the responsibility of organized crime. And until the press conference of the General Prosecutor of Mexico, when the General Prosecutor indicated that there is an involvement of municipal police. And at that moment, the general prosecutor said literally, this is a typical case of enforced disappearance. Later, there were some notes in the press that passed overlooked mainly, that the students were taken to the police station, and then they disappeared from the police station, but nothing more was said. And this week, Proceso published some materials that the federal police was in fact monitoring all the movements of the students from the moment they went out from Ayotzinapa to Iguala, which proved, you know, that at least, if not the direct involvement, proved that the federal police was, you know, knowing and contemplating without doing absolutely anything what was going on. To this one, we need to add, you know, what Abel already was saying, that the soldiers, the army, did not react, although they had troops, elite troops, and they were aware of what is going on in Iguala. Now, one of our consultants made the information request through transparency law, asking for the public version of the investigation up to date, and using the article of the transparency law that saying that the general prosecutor office should make public the investigation when it's about serious human rights violations. The response of PGR that we received yesterday, it was that all the investigation will be reserved for 12 years because this is not about human rights violations and this is not about crime against humanity. I have to mention that we didn't ask anything about crimes against humanity.
Can I have a little bit more information?
You know, we're. I have to ask.
Do we have time, or do we have time?
We have two minutes. Two minutes. Okay.
I need to say something about the measure because I think that our colleagues in Justice Initiative needs to understand that. The pack of measures that Peña Nieto proposed, they are materialized in legislative initiatives that they are right now in the Congress, which are hugely important. They are the law on the independent prosecutor office, modification of the reform of the criminal justice system, that senators and the MPs, they have the order to pass it on fast track, which are not discussed with anybody and they are not improving the situation, but undermining some of the things that they were achieved until now.
Ina, thanks for those comments. We'll have to end it there. Was there a last comment? We really are short of time now, but was there something that I heard from DC that felt that you needed to say? Fine. Yes, we'd love to hear your final reactions and recognize that the time is short.
Yeah, no, I'll just, before he says the final thing, I just have to say something that Ina said that it's very important. I mean, the investigation is not open for enforced disappearances. It's within the Attorney General's office at the federal level. It's open for organized crime and with modality of kidnapping. So it's actually nobody is being prosecuted for enforced disappearances, not even the 22 police that were detained a long time ago and the other 20 police from Cocula that are already on the process. It's
Bueno, solamente para reiterar de que el... Ha habido un intento de ir deslindando a las autoridades de los tres niveles de gobierno. Y el gobierno quiere quedarse, porque ya no puede más, solamente con la autoridad municipal, el presidente, con el secretario de Seguridad Pública y con los policías de Iguala y de Cocula. para aislar el caso, para decir que el problema de México no es un problema estructural lo que pasó con Iguala, sino que más bien pues es parte de estas inconsistencias de un sistema que puede pues modificar este tipo de actos delincuenciales. Para nosotros, y esa es la disputa que hay en nuestro país, para nosotros es un problema de Estado, es un delito de lesa humanidad, donde hay responsabilidades de los tres niveles de gobierno. Hubo omisión, hubo colisión, es decir, hubo esta contubernio, ¿no? Y Iguala es la expresión de muchos lugares que hay en Guerrero y en muchos estados de nuestro país, de cómo las autoridades trabajan impunemente con la delincuencia organizada, y que el ejército tiene mucho que ver en esta estrategia de contrainsurgencia y sobre todo de contención social, coludido con el crimen organizado. Por ejemplo, donde hay policía comunitaria, ahí es donde hay ataque del ejército hacia estas organizaciones. Donde hay crimen organizado en Guerrero, no hay actuaciones duras del ejército. Entonces vemos que su función está desnaturalizada. Entonces creo que aquí es muy importante resaltar que pues el gobierno no tiene voluntad política para llegar al fondo de las investigaciones y dar con las autoridades responsables, con el gobernador, con miembros del ejército, con la Policía Federal y pues obviamente con las autoridades municipales. Ahí está el desafío, y por eso es tan grave el momento en que estamos viviendo, porque la sociedad ya no cree la versión oficial de lo que pasó en Iguala.
So just to end up, we think the authorities are aiming to disconnect this relationship between all the levels of responsibility. They want to just point out the responsibility of the mayor, the local security security ministry, and the local police. What they want to say that this is an isolated case, and that there is no structural kind of causes of this. What we said is that this is a problem of all the state, all the Mexican state, that these are the responsibility of the three levels because of omissions or collusion or corruption or whatever, but because they knew what was the situation in Iguala. Iguala, it's an expression of many other places in Mexico, many other places in Guerrero, where impunity covers the organized crime and the authorities at the same time, where the army is used as a mean of social contention and not to actually act against organized crime, and where militarization has just served as an excuse to use against the population. We don't think there is a political will to actually go deep into all the responsibilities of all the three levels. They just want to continue to point out the municipality authorities. And for us, we think this is the biggest challenge for Mexico now, specifically because there is no credibility on the authorities anymore. Ayotzinapa has to become to be a turning back point in this sense.
Thank you, Malu, for translating and for all your insights. Thank you, Abel. It's a rare opportunity and a privilege to hear this firsthand account. I know that you're running to the next appointment. You can see we have many more questions to ask you.
And maybe we can continue the conversation in other fora. Thank you.